Well, if you lead anything, this will be one of the most important talks you ever hear, but I promise you're not going to like it. The title of today's message is The One Mindset You Need to Succeed. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast, where I'm very passionate about helping you grow in your leadership 20 minutes at a time, although today I have a feeling it may be a little more than 20 minutes. If you're new to our community, we drop a new episode on the first Thursday of each month. And I also want to encourage you, very important, please get the leader guide. Go to life.church/leadership podcast, get the guide. It's got detailed notes as well as additional content for you to cover with your team. And if this content is helpful, I would consider it a gift if you would rate it or review it wherever you consume it. And also if you would share it. Tag me and someone on our team may repost you. Let's get the word out and help people grow in their leadership because we know that everyone grows when the leader gets better. Let's dive into today's content. Now, no matter who you are, I want to just tell you, it's going to feel like I'm stepping on your toes because I am. And just so you know, I'm stepping on my toes too. What I want to do is preface this by telling you that some of what I'm going to say today may sound critical or judgmental, but I promise you, I am not criticizing or judging. I'm just addressing one of the biggest problems that every leader in every organization faces over time. So first, I'm going to show you the problem. Then we're going to look at the solution, the problem. One of the biggest problems with the problem is that most leaders don't know it's a problem. I kind of sound like Dr. Seuss, but this is true. The big problem is people don't know this is a problem. And if they do recognize the problem, they usually don't care until it's almost too late or too difficult to solve. So what is the problem? Here is the problem, and it's a big problem. The problem is the odds are low that what you're leading will last. Let me say it again. The odds, they're very low that whatever you're leading now will last for years and years to come. Now, how's that for a downer way to start a podcast? It's not fun, but it's absolutely true. Whatever you're doing now that's working, it is less likely to work in the hands of future generations. And this is well documented in business and in families who've worked hard to create wealth. Let's talk about it today in terms of what I'm going to call generations. Gen 1, Gen 2, and Gen 3. We're going to talk about it in terms of generations. I'm not referring to Gen Z and millennials and Gen X and boomers and such. I'm not talking about age. What I'm talking about is mindset. And we're going to look at three different generations when it comes to leading an organization. Let's talk first of all about Gen 1. Who is Gen 1? Gen 1 would be the leaders who build the business from the ground up, build the church, start the nonprofit. They are the first generation leaders that build something special. That's Gen 1. Then there are some of you, you're Gen 2. You entered the business or you entered the nonprofit relatively early and you got to see some of what it took to build it. You contributed to it, but you didn't start it. You're not Gen 1, you're Gen 2. Then there's Gen 3. Over time, most people in most older organizations are Gen 3 or Gen 4. They entered late and they didn't have the blessings of seeing what it took to actually build the organization. Gen 1 starts it. Gen 2 comes in a little later and appreciates it. Gen 3 comes in even later and doesn't necessarily understand what it took to get there, but they come in with a lot of blessings. Now, why are we talking about this? What is the problem? Well, the bad news is that only 12% of businesses make it to the third generation. I want you to think about this. Whatever you're building today, the odds are very, very low that your business will even survive to the third generation of leaders. And it gets even worse in the fourth generation. Only 4% of businesses make it to the fourth generation. And that's why I'm not happy to tell you, but I'm telling you, the odds are low that what you're leading will last. The same is true with families that create wealth. Generally speaking, wealth disappears by the third generation and is gone forever. Now, I'm a pastor. I don't lead a business. I lead a church. And Hey, Craig here, and we know that the quality of your decisions will determine the quality of your life. The problem is a lot of us are not great decision makers. In episodes 145 and 147, we're learning the strategies for becoming strong, intentional decision makers. And we dig into delegating, emotions, making mistakes, timing, and so much more. In fact, there's so much to learn about decision making that it doesn't fit into two episodes. To help you build a specific plan to grow in your decision making, I've created an extra exclusive teaching you can only get as a part of our leadership community. It's a bonus episode called Discover Your Decision Making Style, and it's only for those of you on our email list. Based on my research, there are five styles of decision making, and my goal is to help you identify your dominant style and build a game-changing plan for making great decisions. Get it free by going to life.church/decision style. life.church/decision style, and we'll help you get better at making decisions. Now, back to the episode. Good news for those of you that are pastors is that churches tend to last. They're really hard to kill. Even someone that probably should be gone, they just kind of hang on forever. That's the good news. The bad news is that most don't tend to thrive for multiple generations. They don't. What typically happens is a church will start and it will thrive under a founding leader for 10 or 12 years, and then it tends to flatten out or even decline over time. So if the odds are against us, what are we going to do to defeat the odds? What I want to do to give you kind of a foundation is I'm going to ask you two questions, and then we're going to go into depth to increase our understanding. Two questions. Question number one is this. What generation are you? What gen are you? Question number two is, what generation do you want to be? Because I'm going to try to help you understand that you actually get to decide. I'll try to illustrate it from a family perspective. You might say, as a gross shell, which gen are you? And I would say it depends on my starting point of measurement. For example, my name, Groschel, it's actually a German name. It should be pronounced Greschel. And if you said, what gen are you? Well, of all the Greschels I've known, I'm Gen 3. I knew my dad and I knew his dad, and so I'm Gen 3. Of those that are living now, because my dad recently passed away, I'm Gen 1. So which gen am I? Well, it depends on your starting point. And what I want to show you, and I hope that you'll become Gen 1 in several areas of life. You might be Gen 1 as a Christian. You might be the first committed follower of Jesus in your family, creating a spiritual legacy, and so you're a Gen 1 believer. Or you might be the first one in your family to go into ministry, so you're Gen 1 in ministry. Or you might be the first one to graduate from college. You're Gen 1 in education. Or you might be the first not to divorce in your family. You're a Gen 1 marriage, creating a marriage legacy. You might be the first to break a long line of addictions in your family. You're Gen 1 sober. You might be the first to be debt-free in your family. You're Gen 1 in wealth creation and distribution, creating a culture of generosity. You might be Gen 1 somewhere. And I'm honored by the grace of God to be Gen 1 in all those areas that I just mentioned. And this is what I want you to understand, is the great thing about Gen 1 is that you get to decide. You get to choose which gen you are, because it's not just about when you enter, but it's about how you think. So what I want to do is talk about how you think. Let's talk about the qualities, or what I might say, the mindsets of the different generations. And I just want to say that these are not absolutes. They're not absolute rules, but they are generally true. And there's strengths of all gens, and there's weaknesses of all gens. And so let's talk about it. To be frank, Gen 1 has more strengths than Gen 3. And it's not Gen 3 fault. If you're Gen 3, I'm not throwing stones at you. The reason why Gen 3 has fewer strengths is because it's the natural trajectory of those who haven't experienced the blessings of knowing why or how something grows. Another reason why Gen 3 has fewer strengths is, honestly, it's a failure of Gen 1. Gen 1 fails to empower and instruct Gen 3, and that often is a great detriment to Gen 3. So Let's talk about the qualities of all three gens. We're going to start with Gen 1. I'm going to give you three descriptives. Gen 1 leaders, they're overcomers, they're disruptors, and they are owners. They're overcomers, they're disruptors, and they are owners. First of all, they're overcomers. They always have a story. Gen 1 almost always starts with almost nothing, and they see a problem, and they overcome the problem, and this creates strength, and they lead against the odds, and they start a creative business, or they start a ministry that becomes a global ministry, or they create generational wealth, or they create a spiritual legacy, or whatever. They start with almost nothing, and they build something special. This is the story of our church. In 1996, Amy and I started with no people, no money, no building, no resources. And over years, by the grace of God, we created, and the help of other people, a special ministry. Now, we visited one of our campus launches. Just to give you context, we now have 45 different churches in different states around the U.S. And so we went to the first weekend, grand opening weekend of a new church launch, and they were meeting in a building that was already built. It was debt-free. There was a full staff, 7 staff members on the first weekend that all had full benefits. And there were tons of people from other life churches in other cities there to help them. And they had 1,500 people on the very first weekend. And a Gen 3 staff member came up to Amy and me and said, "Oh my gosh, we're so glad you're here to see what it's like to start from the ground up." And we looked at that third gen staff member and just smiled and said, "Bless your heart," because I'm thinking to myself, you have no idea what it's really like to start with nothing. And here they are, really excited. We get to see what it's like from the ground up. This is just the way we are in Gen 1. We're overcomers. We accomplished a lot, started a lot, took a lot of risk, and often are maybe more proud of it than we should be. That's just kind of the downside of it. They are overcomers, and they're also disruptors. Gen 1 disrupted the status quo. They are mavericks. They're innovators. In the church world, this sounds kind of crazy, but back in 1996, when I didn't wear a tie to preach, I was a maverick. When we had drums in the church, we were heretics. When we did dramas and videos in the church, that was unheard of in the 1990s. When we went to church services on Saturday night, that was crazy. Multi-site hadn't been done before. Video teaching was outlandish. Free resources and church online was mind-blowing to people back then. Gen 1, they're overcomers, and they're disruptors, and they are owners. Gen 1 embraces an ownership mindset. Now, this is almost like a whole nother podcast. We might talk about it a whole nother time, the difference between an owner and an employee mindset, but there are so many. If I were going to try to summarize it, I'd say it this way, that owners think higher, see broader, and care deeper. They think higher, they see broader, and they care deeper. And I could give you 100 examples of the differences between an owner mindset and an employee mindset. Perhaps the best and most simple one would be this, that employees tend to think about what's best for them, and owners obsess about what's best for the organization. It's a totally different mindset. Now, we know the upside. They're innovators, disruptors, overcomers, and they're owners. The downside of Gen 1 is this. Gen 1 is vulnerable to getting stuck in the past. For example, I pastor churches, and I might go see a church that's like a 40-year-old church, and they say, "The worship is amazing." Gladys tells me this, and Gladys is on the tambourine. "The worship is amazing." And I'm thinking, actually, Gladys loves it and nobody else. Like, they're so stuck in the past. But they loved what they were doing 40 years ago, and so they love it today. And Gen 1 leaders, of which I am one, we can be slow to change because in our mind, we earned the success, and we can be very confident and sometimes to a fault. So two downsides of Gen 1. Gen 1 is vulnerable to getting stuck in the past. And the second thing is this, that Gen 1 has a hard time letting go. And we don't even need to really explain this because we've all seen it too many times. Gen 1 creates it and then holds on to it and doesn't know how to let go. This is important for Gen 1 leaders. And I want to just say this to Gen 1 leaders. What Gen 1 does or doesn't do determines the potential success of future generations. Let me just say it again. Whatever Gen 1 does or doesn't do, if we trust, if we empower, if we educate, if we delegate, if we believe in those coming behind us, then we can help them be successful. But if we don't, if we think we know it all and hold on to it and do it the way it's always been done, then we will undermine the potential for success in future generations. What Gen 1 does or doesn't do determines the potential success of future generations. Why? Why do we end up here? Well, Gen 1 creates something worthy of success, and Gen 1 inadvertently makes it more difficult to continue on. We tend to try to hold on too tight. So let's summarize. Gen 1, they're overcomers, they're disruptors, and they're owners. The best quality of Gen 2 is that Gen 2, they are protectors. They're protectors. What do we know about Gen 2? Well, they didn't start the organization, but they generally entered early enough to appreciate the sacrifices and the price that Gen 1 paid. So I'd say it this way. Gen 2 appreciates and respects the sacrifices of Gen 1. They saw it firsthand, and they admire what it took to build. So because they respect it, Gen 2 feels responsible to preserve and protect what's built. Let me say it again. Because they respect it, they're going to try to protect it. Now, why do they feel responsible? Well, Gen 1, when Gen 1 created something, Gen 1 had nothing to lose, and so they took all these kind of risks. But Gen 2 actually has something to lose because there's something very, very special, and they didn't build it, so Gen 2 is generally afraid they're going to mess it up. Gen 2 is generally, they're typically more risk adverse, and this can be a problem because the fastest way to kill success is to try not to fail. And too often, Gen 2 tries not to fail. So, quick summary. Gen 1, they're overcomers, they're disruptors, they're owners. Gen 2, they are protectors. And this isn't going to sound kind, and it's really not, but it's true. Gen 3, they're squanderers. This is the norm. Gen 3 usually blows it, but I want to say very, very clearly, it doesn't have to be this way. And if Gen 1 and Gen 2 leads well, Generation 3 can exceed all that Gen 1 and Gen 2 did, and that is our goal. So the qualities of Gen 3, to no fault of their own, they started on third base. They came in when the organization was built. They always had the benefits. They always had the resources. And here's the downside. Gen 3 has always had the benefits of success without creating the success. They didn't develop the muscles, and they didn't have the failures, and they didn't learn all of the good lessons through all of the hard times. Now, there's an upside, and the upside is that Gen 3 has massive opportunities. For example, at our church right now, like if you're on staff and you're Gen 3 and you want to create something, there's almost no excuses. Like you've got resources and you've got talent, you've got people with experience, like you can do something special. The downside is the trajectory of Gen 3 drifts toward entitlement. The trajectory, just because the way it is, they think, well, this is mine and I deserve it. And the trajectory of Gen 3 tends to drift toward entitlement. And again, I just want to say, it doesn't have to be this way. And I'll give you kind of a personal example to help you see how this might play out in your organization. When it comes to vacations, you know, I was the guy that grew up and had to walk uphill barefoot in the snow both ways, whatever. So that's one of these stories, but I'm going to tell you one of those stories. When it came to vacations as a kid, I remember one that my family took and I loved it. We stayed in this cheap motel that had a trampoline and we floated the river, which was free. It was a blast. And I remember telling myself as a kid, I'm going to always take my family on vacation. So I promised one day I would do that. And so we did it. And in the early years, our family didn't have much. We had 6 kids, and there was a family from the church that blessed us with a free condo in Steamboat, Colorado. And so every year I'd preach on Sunday, and we'd get all 6 kids in the van. We'd drive 14 hours to Colorado. We'd have to stay in a hotel. So we'd get one hotel with one bed. And quite honestly, we'd put one kid in a drawer, one kid would be in a bathtub, kids would be sleeping on the ground, and we had a budget of $100 a day and would stay there all week long for under $1,000, and that was our budget. Well, if you fast forward to today, things are different, and humbly I'd say that we've been blessed. Now I have several married children, I've got 5 grandchildren, and my grandchildren, Kenna, Cole, Spencer, Jace, and Halen, this year, all went to an all-inclusive resort in Cancun. And here's what they call me. They call me Pops. I'm Pops, and to them, Pops pays. In other words, to no fault of their own, they just assume that families go on vacations every year. And this is what tends to happen when Gen 3 comes along. Gen 3 just thinks this is the way things have always been. So I'm Gen 1. When we started the church, we had nothing. And so I obsess about keeping costs down. And I am thrilled beyond measure that we can now pay well and give benefits and retirement and reimburse mileage and generous time off and such and on and on and on. But to be honest, a couple of years ago, when a few staff members complained about the gifts that we gave them at a staff retreat, you're going to have to hold me back. Because as Gen 1, I'm thinking that is the most entitled, crazy thing I've ever heard. And it's honestly to no fault of their own. It doesn't have to be that way. And the truth of the matter is, if I blame Gen 3 without taking responsibility, then I'm a part of the problem. So let's try to bring some perspective to this, and I'm going to give you a big thought that is very, very important. What gen are you, and what gen do you want to be? Because you can decide. If you build something special, you're Gen 1. If you take what's built and you protect it, that's a Gen 2 mindset. If you take whatever's built and you enjoy it or you squander it, that's a Gen 3 mindset. If, on the other hand, you may be Gen 3 and you can take what's built and you can see it as a foundation to do so much more, way more, and you're willing to sacrifice and take risks and defy the odds, suddenly you have Gen 3 resources with a Gen 1 mindset. You're an owner. And I've taken a long journey to get to this one big thought, and I want to give you this thought. This is so, so, so important. Are you ready? You can't change when you enter, but you can change how you think. It doesn't matter at what point in the organization you enter. If you think like a builder, you can be at any point with a builder, a Gen 1 mindset. Gen 1, the question is, do you want to keep it and control it, or do you want to continue to build it? Gen 2, the question is, do you want to guard it and protect it, or do you want to continue to build it? Gen 3, do you want to enjoy it and squander it, or do you want to continue to build it? The one mindset you need for success is a Gen 1 builder's mindset. Problem is, the odds are still low that what you're leading will last unless you pass this mindset on to future generations. I want to say it one more time, the bad news. I want you to hear it and feel it, because what you're leading matters to you so much. And the odds are against you. The odds are low that what you're leading will last. But here's the good news. You're a leader, and leaders don't follow the odds. What kind of leader are you? You're an odd-breaking, Gen 1 thinking, future-building leader. That's what you are. You're an odd breaker. You don't need to let other people tell you what the odds are. You defy the odds. You're a Gen 1 thinking, future building leader. You're not preserving. You're not squandering. You're building, because that's what leaders do. No matter where you enter, I want to encourage you to think Gen 1. Take risks. Be bold. Be daring. Defy the odds. Innovate. Create. Do more than other believe or possible. When you get criticized, just realize that's part of the battle. And keep on building, because that's what great leaders do. What are you? You're an odd-breaking, Gen 1 thinking, future-building leader. Now, I want to say sincerely thank you for listening and being a part of our leadership community. Get the leader guide. Go to life.church/leadership podcast. And I want to tell you, if you post and invite others to be a part of our community, it would mean so much to me. We'll be back on the first Thursday of every month. Continue getting better, because we know that everyone wins when the leader gets better.